And so where you stand, the Father stands now. This is the fact of your existence. The Father stands where you are now. And your human concept of yourself is your interpretation of the Father which stands there. I know you don't feel like the Father, but I and the Father are one. Never are you separate from the infinite self. Never can a wave be separate from an ocean and still be a wave. Now this conscious surrender then accepts the ocean of spirit behind you as your substance, your activity, your law, your government, your safety, your protection, your fulfillment, your food. And instead of a human who has to do for himself, this flow of the invisible becomes your life. You're losing personal identity as a human being. The world will see somebody glowing, but that's not your concern. The world will see somebody without fear, that's not your concern. Your concern is the willingness, the ability to say, the infinite is living itself as me. Where I go, the will of God goes. And all that is not the will of God in my being, I reject. All that is directed at me from outside, which is not the will of God, I'm not concerned about. And now you're walking through a world, knowing yourself to be the living will of God, and letting that will live itself. Your human life is over. And that was the life that originally you felt you wanted to improve. This seems very drastic at a certain level of development and very glorious at another level. Because you see, this is the final freedom. The will of God does not begin in time and it does not begin in space. And therefore it is not governed or subject to the laws of time and space. It is independent of this world. The will of God does not even move through this world. It only seems to. The will of God is moving in the spiritual kingdom. And when the will of God in you is active as your being, you are walking in the spiritual kingdom, and not until then. And only then, when you are the living will of God, through your conscious acceptance, are you what the Bible calls living. Until then, you are considered asleep or dead. If today the churches of the world would accept that the will of God is being done on earth, this would be an enchanting age overnight. But the churches do not know the will of God is being done on earth. The churches have actually banished God from earth. God isn't on earth to the churches. God's name is called up there. And because of that, because of the inability to know that God's will is being done on earth, we have been deprived of the presence of God in our consciousness, in our midst. We have lived in slumberland. We have all paid the price of not knowing that God is functioning perfectly on earth. And because we have not known this, we have accepted the evils of the earth. As living entities to be fought against, to be defended against, to be overcome, little realizing that we were saying we could do something that God hadn't done or couldn't do. And when this is exposed, when this is realized, that man couldn't do what God didn't do, we would have realized, we would have known, had we not been so conditioned, that because God is living on earth, and the will of God is living on earth, it is impossible for evil to exist. It is impossible for crime to be real. It is impossible for assassination, murder, sin, disease, death to exist. And this must be banished from our consciousness. We must look at these things through the single eye. The will of God is being done on earth, and therefore these are not here. These are hypnotic appearances. And this is your freedom in Christ. In the surrender to your Christhood, your Christ walks through these things which the human mind cannot do. And so the meek become the strong. Those who surrender become those who conquer. All dominion lies in the realization that God is on earth now and there is none other. God is the substance of my being. God is the law of that substance. God is the activity of that substance. God is the only presence as far as the eye can see. And in that acceptance, you are surrendering, losing I-ness to I. You are accepting the mantle of Christhood as the only possibility in the kingdom of God on earth, not as a future possibility, but as a present fact, and then living dynamically from that acceptance. For the acceptance is incomplete unless you live out of that acceptance, rejecting all else, firmly, consistently, continuously, keeping the mind inside those splinters so that it's forever looking above, ever up, ever to the hills, ever to the Christ, ever to the self, until you find the transition is actually taking place. You walked out on the waters of faith, but something happens. The transition begins to take place so firmly that there is no longer a ground under your feet, and you don't mind a bit. You feel the ability to walk in space because Christ is living your life and Christ is unconfined. And then you drop that terminology and say, Christ is my name. Christ is all I could ever be. Christ, the living Spirit of God, is all there is. And all appearances lose their validity and their power, for they never had substance. They were but an image in the mind which never truly existed. And there behind that image is the Christ. Everywhere. Omnipresent. In the factory, on the farm, in the prison, in the hospital, all appearances are a nothingness to your new consciousness. They do not make you flinch. They do not make you want to change them, or improve them, or destroy them, or overcome them. You are not seeking a God power, because there is no other power. When you find you're not seeking a God power and are resting in the knowledge of the infinite presence of God without opposite, you are in the healing consciousness. When you are unmoved by the sights and sounds, then that beginning as an ice cube has brought you all the way to Christhood. It's a very tight place, a very narrowed place, a very constricted place. But it must be so for a while. There is a time when all must come to that place where you leave selfhood outside and you go into this great big nothingness, as it were. We all must come to that. It's inevitable. And then, as you're in it, you don't mind as much as you thought you would. It's a struggle. It's difficult. But it suddenly blossoms. It blossoms, and the enchantment, the wonder of it, is so indescribable to you that you know every minute that you had put into getting into this position of nothingness was part of crucifixion. And the minute that will of you is the will of God, you know resurrection is taking place. It's really taking place that instant. Father, thy will be done in me, on earth, as it is in heaven, translates into, Father, thy will is my will, and I have no other. The will and the power are one and the same. Now, last week, you may remember, the suggestion was made that you write out to yourself an acceptance that the substance of God is the substance of you. Those of you who did that are much stronger this week. Those of you who were too busy did not feel the necessity of doing it. And to a strange thing did happen in this chapter for tonight. Joel very clearly makes the statement that you must accept the substance of God as the substance of you. Now, if you haven't done it, please do. We call it your Declaration of Independence, in which you declared your independence from the material world by virtue of the fact that the substance of God is your substance. When I did my lesson, I found a great strength coming from it. But it isn't finished just because you've done it. It's something to do and redo until it is your active living consciousness. If you could jump the clock a few hours or days or years and at this moment be living in the consciousness that God is your substance, surely you know that your world would be entirely different, because that substance is omnipotent. And when there's no other you than that substance, omnipotence is functioning as your being. When there's no other you, you even drop the word you or my being. You simply are and you know it. Now, I do know that you can live in the consciousness of being the substance of God, and I know it straightens your spine. I know it firms your whole way of life, and I know it holds out of your consciousness invaders that are just striving to enter. I also know that until you make that step, you delay other important steps. Each of us sitting here tonight must come to the awareness that I am the substance of God. Someday you'll see that's really as basic as saying, in order to fly a plane, I have to learn how to fly. I am the substance of God. And therefore, there's only one substance here. And the substance of God not being flesh, flesh isn't here. Flesh is not where the substance of God is, and the substance of God is everywhere. Where is the flesh? It is in the human mind. Where is the human mind? It is in the universal mind. Where is the universal mind? Nobody's ever found it. Nobody ever will. It's the suppositional mind. It's a pyramid of errors. And so your substance being divine substance, the only reason you can show forth an error, an evil, a disease, a lack, a limitation, is because there is a remnant in you that does not accept this substance as your own. And that remnant must be crucified. And the mind that contains that remnant must be crucified, must turn itself over to the Father as an instrument for the Father, must open itself so that through it can come the full, total, uncompromising realization of substance, divine spiritual substance, life substance, Christ substance, God substance, being substance, I am. And as this is resolved, there is a lighter you, a less dense you, a more omnipresent infinite you, a greater awareness of yourself as divine consciousness. And this mounting scale of realization becomes possible after you have accepted divine substance as yours. Now, when you wrote out your assignment to yourself, you may have found that you were sort of limited. You could get so far and say a few things, and after that you didn't know what else to say. Good. Good. You had a breakground somewhere, and if you hadn't said what little you said, how would you go any further? Now take it just a little further. Revamp it. If you weren't satisfied that it said what had to be said, do it again. because this is the cornerstone of your existence. You are that substance which is God, and that substance is eternal. That substance is the only substance on the earth, and every other so-called substance must be a lie. Now, if you could stop at that point and just dwell silently on the thought that the only substance being God, every other substance is a lie, you would find a strength growing in you. You wouldn't waste your time trying to grab other substances. You might find that the things you were seeking and working so hard to get, you don't really want them as hard as you thought you did. You're not even sure that's what you should have. In fact, how do you know that's what you should have if the will of the Father hasn't expressed itself in that direction? Now, when you're functioning in a human will, you will do things that are timely. And you will do things on the basis of your concept of right and wrong. You may even have a temporary measure of success. When you do things from the divine will, it is making an infinite decision. And the success is never temporary, it is permanent. It is a success that continues beyond the grave. The success of the infinite decision is an eternal success. And even a human brain can see that when the infinite is living your life, this is the only way you can come to the true fulfillment of being. Now, the substance of your being is that infinite substance and that infinite mind and that infinite will and that infinite power, that infinite law, that infinite God. And all of it contains every quality of God. So right now, there is no quality of God that you lack. Whether you know it or not, doesn't change the fact that every quality of God must be yours, because every quality of God is in God's substance. And if you know the nature of God, you know the nature of you. Knowing the nature of God, knowing the nature of your substance, anything that makes a demand upon you which denies the nature of your substance, it doesn't require any response from you. You don't have to shoo it away. It isn't there. If the lump gets this high, you don't have to be concerned about it. You don't have to worry what's going to happen to that arm. Why? Your substance is divine substance. It doesn't have any lumps. You've got to stand still for that moment, that just that moment that knows the difference between the fact that divine substance doesn't have lumps and therefore this isn't mine. A universal appearance momentarily there. But where would you work from if you weren't aware of yourself as divine substance? You'd forever be running away from things or defending against them. In this work, you don't run from them, you don't defend against them, you face the nothingness of them with nothing to defend yourself but your divine consciousness. Does God need defending? So our surrender is the end of the human ego, the end of the human self which says, oh, I was born an orphan, my parents died so soon, At the age of 4, this happened to me. At the age of 12, that happened. None of it happened. It all happened in the false, non-existent human consciousness. The substance of God was your name then and is now and will be. And unless this is accepted by walking away from that substance, you're in duality, you're in a self that isn't you. And that self is not under God law. And so this is the fundamental where we get rid of two-ness and stand in oneness. If I seem to be reiterating, it's because until you have made this transition in consciousness, your progress cannot soar. Because it is this substance that makes your progress. It is the substance of all life. Now let's be still. In a moment of surrender, I and the Father are all that exist in this universe. The Father and the Son, the infinite and the infinite individualized, the ocean and the wave, the sunlight, sun and the sunbeam. God the Father and God the Son. That Son I am, for there is no other. And the substance of the Son is the substance of the Father. The will of the Father is the will of the Son. Wherever Joel went, he was at home. For the Christ was always there. The Christ was he who started. The Christ was he who ended. The Christ was he who left. The Christ was he who arrived. The Christ was the audience. The Christ was the speaker. The Christ was the city. The Christ was the government. The Christ is all. The one substance. And there's nothing to do but rest in it. Live in the awareness of your substance as universal. And live in it until it assures you it is there. It has come. It is real. It is the infinite substance. And you are that one. You're walking on the waters of spirit until those waters embrace you and tell you that you now have dominion, for the eye of you and the eye of the Father are one. The more you can look at this world then without reaction, in the knowledge that my substance is all there is everywhere, that is your healing consciousness. That is your spiritual consciousness. That is your acceptance of the infinite nature of God. That is your sonship. And that you will find is your eternal life. Now we're all moving in the same direction. We all have a relative degree of awareness that is comparable. Don't be ashamed to stumble anywhere along the line. It means nothing. The self of you can never stumble. It is absolutely impossible to fail, because success is already completed in the invisible. You are only living in the visible what already is your finished self in the invisible. There is nothing on this earth you can complete in the visible unless it is already completed in the invisible. And when you wait for the will of God in you, it will only will you to do out here that which is completed in the invisible, and that is why you can never fail. There is nothing that you do of yourself in the visible that is of any value until it is the will of God bringing this impulse to you. For it brings to you that which is completed in the invisible. And that is the secret of spiritual living. If all that you do in the visible is what has been completed in the invisible, how can you fail? Everything Jesus did in the visible was already completed in the invisible, and he knew it. We are learning this is so. The finished invisible kingdom expresses its will in you, and then you merely become the hitherto in the visible for that which is complete in the finished invisible. And that is our function, to bring forth into visible expression the activity of God in the invisible manifestation. This is glorifying the Father, loosing on earth that which is in heaven. It makes harmonious living possible to everyone. Well, thank you very much.